Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Africa, the Ancient Signs of Sahaji. It is 6:30 p.m., April 23rd, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America, that is. And I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And it is the greatest pleasure to have the leader of this teaching, who is Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Srirosha Master. Hello, Sri Kadavji. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. To begin with, some of the audience has been listening for some time, and some people are listening for the first time. So we'll go through some of the basic principles of this teaching. We'll also touch on some other aspects as well. And I wanted to ask you, Sri Kadavji, if we could talk a little bit about what's the purpose of this very ancient spiritual teaching is, and what would be the reason that someone would want to step on this path?
Well, we look to the short definition of the ancient science of Sahaji, and we look at the word Sahaji, which means giving the individual soul the opportunity to gain spiritual liberation, and that's the most important part, is to gain self-realization in the fifth dimension. That's actually the first goal, but they also can become spiritual masters at some point. So we offer that opportunity, and that's the main purpose of ACTA, is to give spiritual liberation to the ready soul. So it's not for everybody. It would be nice if it was for everybody, but one has to be ready for the path. We just can't go out and get everybody upon it. So there's an irony with that. Because when we say ready soul, what does that mean? But it's not important in terms of the basics. It's that people come when we present the basic fundamentals. So they come to the teaching when we present it. In different intro talks, or like we do here, we present it each week, and then the ready soul hears it and steps upon the path, and what happens is they end their karma at that point. We talk about karma and reincarnation on the path of ACTA, but we're not stuck in karma and reincarnation. In other words, there's lower worlds, and we'll talk about that later. The lower planes specifically, that is, are the planes of karma and reincarnation. But in the true reality, there's no karma and reincarnation, much to the chagrin of other teachings, like the religions talk about karma and reincarnation. There are some light and sound paths that do talk about karma and reincarnation, but they have forgotten that the high path, the path of ACTA, transcends all these lower limitations, I'll say. Therefore, when one steps onto the path of ACTA, in order to gain spiritual liberation, they start to lead a life of dharma, which is a karmaless life. People cannot go to the other teachings and get this wisdom. It just doesn't exist. I've read every path that's on this planet and further, and they just don't have the information. And not only do we offer the liberation on the path, but also we give the proper information that is nowhere else to be found. But then the irony is only 1 out of 100 can get this wisdom. But that's okay, because that's why we're here, for the ready soul specifically, and not necessarily for everybody else. The other people that aren't ready can listen in, and eventually, and maybe further down the road, several years or in the next lifetime, they may be ready. But usually when the non-ready soul listens, they listen to what we talk about here, but then they go away somewhere else and they forget. Their memory kicks in of remembering their conditioning process. So the ready soul is at a point to, I'll say, uncondition, or to gain this spiritual liberation. And that means there's this freedom out from the underpinnings of the conditioning and propaganda that's been ingrained in each soul when they enter this world. There's a traditional bundle that's taught to children and what have you, and then they're conditioned a certain way. And then what we do in ACTA is for that soul that can see themselves as individuals, then they can really resolve their conditioning factors. It doesn't mean one is not still a good civilized person, but they can sort of see above all the nonsense of the lower teachings. And that means that ACTA, being the ancient science of Sahaji, specifically, it's the oldest teaching in the history of recorded man and beyond. And that means that it's always existed, but it's not necessarily always taught publicly. That means the living Sarosha Master, who is in the longest unbroken line of spiritual teachers, has always existed, whether the teaching is public or not. The teacher is always there. When the teaching is not public, he'll teach on a one-to-one basis or privately to specific ready souls. And so right now we're public. We publicly teach ACTA, and we can actually go into places and give talks without any type of persecution. So when we're persecuted in the public, then the teaching recedes. There are people that denigrate the teaching of ACTA and say we're not public and all that, but they don't understand what that means, being public. That their definition is something silly and doesn't make any sense. But what I'm saying specifically here, it's just simply that if we're persecuted out of the position of teaching in venues, then that means it's gone pretty much a non-public. And so we're fortunate to be able to teach it publicly. And we'll be able to do that for a long time. It's not an issue of, we are in an iron age, we are in the most negative cycle of the lower worlds, but we're still not that far into it where it would be impossible to teach it. So we're fortunate from that standpoint. Now, I wonder if you could talk about the contemplation exercise, the practice that we teach in ACTA, so that one can gain the spiritual liberation, then maybe take us through a Yu chant, Leslie. She would appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, I'd be very happy to, Sukhanovji. The contemplation technique is really the core of this spiritual teaching, because the contemplation technique, practicing this contemplation technique, is really what propels our spiritual unfoldment. Granted, we do not force anyone to do this. We do not mandate that anyone does it. But for those people who are truly interested in furthering their spiritual unfoldment and do this daily practice, they will reap a great benefit. They will understand why it is such an important part of the teaching. So with this contemplation technique, what we're doing really is taking 30 minutes a day, that's all, and we're putting our attention on spirit, totally putting our attention on spirit during that time. So when one's in contemplation, it would look to someone else like they might be in meditation, because on the outside it looks very much the same. But inwardly, there's a little bit of difference, because in contemplation, we're not trying to void ourselves of all thoughts and pictures. We're letting that flow through and still gently placing our attention on spirit at the same time. So it will automatically bring us to a higher level by doing the contemplation technique. So what we do in the contemplation is we put our attention on, you can use the Chisrachil, the third eye, or the crown chakra, that soft spot when a baby is born. The soft spot on the top of the head is where the crown chakra is, where soul enters the body when the baby is first born. And we put our attention there. We're chanting a word that we received during our initiations, or we're chanting the hue, which is another word that means God. It's a very high vibrational word, and it does really obliterate any kind of negativity in the area, whether we're using it on the inner or chanting it out loud. So for the purposes of those people who are not on the path and don't have their own spiritual mantra, which one gets with their initiations. Well, we would use the hue, and it's just extremely powerful, and that's why we do use it. So when one chants the word hue, it just sounds just like what I just said, but it's hue. And so that makes us very peaceful, very centered, but it's also opening us up as a channel for spirit so that we're eliminating negativity within ourselves and within the area. And doing this, in doing this 30-minute contemplation every day, you might have different types of experiences. So as soon as we close our eyes, we're automatically doing Sahaji, the out-of-body travel. We might have a vivid out-of-body experience where we're traveling. Maybe we're attending a satsang on one of the temples of golden wisdom and on the inner planes, or perhaps, you know, flying through the air. There's many different types of experiences that one can have. You might see a bright light, like white light or a yellow light, and this is really Srodesha. If it's different colors, then you can sort of gauge what plane that you're traveling on by the color of the light. So each plane has colors that are associated with it that are sort of like imbue the atmosphere of that plane. For instance, on the soul plane, it's a yellow light that you might see in the etheric plane, which is the subconscious plane. It might be lavender. The mental plane, which is actually the etheric plane is part of, is more of a blue. And then as we come down to the causal plane, it's a copper, sort of ochre-type color. And the astral plane can range from a pinkish color to a very red-type hue, as far as the type of color that it is. And then the physical plane is associated with green. So if you see these colors, you'll be able to figure out where you might be traveling at that point or where your attention is. Now, the contemplation itself is very, very important in solidifying our attention on spirit. And if one does a contemplation on a daily basis, they'll find that all their fears and their insecurities gradually just melt away, and you'll find that one day you're just standing very, very strongly on the inner, and nothing can really shake you as soul. So I just wanted to mention that that's why we do the contemplation, because it is what allows us to unfold faster. And as Trikotachi has mentioned in the past, we don't make it a mandate. We do strongly recommend it, but it's up to the individual. So with that, what I'm going to do is just take you through a brief version of it. It's called the Hue Chant, and if you want to follow along, feel free, or you can just listen in. But what we do is put our feet flat on the floor in a sitting position, or we can also have them crossed in a tailor fashion. Just be comfortable, be in an easy chair if you can, be in a quiet place is very, very important. And when you're doing your contemplation, if it's not as quiet as you like, feel free to put earplugs in to keep the extraneous noises out. But in our contemplation, we'll put our attention on the Kisra Til or the crown chakra, gently placing our attention there, and then we'll just chant the hue, and it will be like this. Brakabashat, which means may the blessings be. Sri Kadavshi, is there anything you'd like to add to what I've said about the contemplation, or any comments or perhaps you'd like to talk about something else.
Yes, I want to reiterate the idea of the essence and soul in each individual. Excuse me, is a part of the sound current, the Sarosha that we're talking about. So we want to emphasize that when we hear the high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear on the inside, that's the essence of the soul of the individual. It's one's individual spark of divinity from the supreme deity, the Akshar. Now, we're not a religion, so sometimes when we start talking about the Godhead, people think, oh, well, it's a religion. Well, it's not a religion. We have four logical definitions for it, a way, path, teaching, or science. But in reality, Akita is just Akita by itself on its own. So that means the relationship could be one of those four definitions, logical definitions. But it is not a religion, a metaphysical teaching, a New Age teaching. It's not New Age. We don't identify with New Age teachings. I know there's a lot of New Age fairs and what have you, but we don't participate in any of that because we're not a New Age teaching. So most of these New Age teachings are Buddhists anyway. When people go to those fairs, they have this banner with Buddhas on each side of it, and they're just part of really Buddhism of the East. That's fine. They're nice teachings in terms of they have goodness and what have you, but they don't really gain one's spiritual liberation because they don't dwell upon the sound current. They don't deal with the essence. They mostly talk about the mental state, the mind, and they sort of merge the individuality with the mind and spirit. In Akita, we separate those three. My teacher, Paul Twitchell, when I first read it of him, he was explaining the three separate parts of spirit, mind, and body. I know they have magazines on that now, but if you go through the magazines, they never explain those three parts. There's no explanation for it. They just make some sweeping declaration. So specifically, the soul is a light and sound within one. One can experience as light or can hear it as soul. And that's the twin aspect of what is known as the Sarosha, Sarosha, as Leslie mentioned previously, which has both the higher Sanskrit terms of Sra, which is sound, and Sha, which is light. So you have this Sarosha that combines the two to have the derivative spirit, which means spiral. If you look at the Sarosha logo, it looks like the top of a spiral. So it's an interesting, a very mysterious term because it has those seven letters in it with the O in the middle, which is really the fifth plane. So you can see that the Sarosha has all four dimensions below the Satnam. So you can, Satnam, which is the fifth dimension, to be specific. That means that the logo actually is the highest mandala. Mandalas of the East are, they show these pictures where you put your eye focus or your inner eye upon these colorful imagery things. And then what that does is augments one's attention. But the highest one is this Sarosha symbol, which is on all the keystones of the temples of golden wisdom on the inner planes. And these temples are in the middle of each plane, so it's sort of a neutral point that one can go to. So in the religions, they talk about sanctuary. Well, it's a true sanctuary of being at a safe place. Safe place really is what sanctuary means. It's more has a religious connotation. We don't really use it. So you could call it, say, a safe place or a place of liberation or freedom from any sort of challenges on each one of the planes. So these temples of golden wisdom are in the middle of the planes, and when you go into the keystone, the doors, and the keystone above the doors, the Sarosha symbol is always present. And that means that one puts their attention upon it and can gain liberation by its usage. Because you put your attention on that fifth plane, eventually you go into it. As Leslie said earlier, when we do the practice of contemplation on a daily basis, that means that we will be putting our attention upon the light and sound, and traveling in Sahaji back to the fifth region or above. We travel in those first four lower planes. We want to try to negotiate through those as quickly as possible and not get sidetracked, because that's what all the other teachings do. And they get sidetracked in these side issues of all sorts of good and evil and just all the polarities and the images and what have you of the lower realms and trap soul, and they don't get the liberation, the pure light and sound above the fifth dimension, which is the pure positive God world. It's not positive only, but it's pure positive. It's a matter of logic not having enough specificity to explain it. That's why we talk about the sound current. So when you hear the sound current, that transcends all the words and logic and what have you, because it associates with one's feelings, and also one can experience it too as a sound current. So it's very important that one dwells on the sound current and learns to travel on that individual sound that each one has, and paying close attention to that until they're liberated in the first level of self-realization, which is the first goal. I think you had mentioned the lower worlds. I think we didn't talk about the goals. So maybe you'd like to go into the goals briefly. I don't know, what's our time like? I'm going to see if
I can... a little over 8 minutes, so we've got some time. But
through that for a few minutes and get back to me. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first goal, as forgot if you mentioned, is self-realization. And that happens when we establish ourselves on the fifth plane, what's also called that loop. We receive the fifth initiation. So with every plane that we travel through, we are initiated after a period of time. So generally, one's been in Akita for a few years before they receive their fifth initiation. But this is a very important place to establish oneself, because it's a recognition of ourself as soul. And if you recall earlier, I was talking about getting rid of any fears and insecurities. By the time we get to the fifth initiation, we really have rid ourselves completely of fears and insecurities, because we have complete recognition of who we are as soul. So that's very important, because we don't possess a soul. Soul is who we are. Soul is that part of God that is immortal and indestructible. So while an individual can go through lifetimes and take on different bodies, that individual is always that same soul. So it's very, very important to reach self-realization, and because that is actually the first plane of true spiritual liberation. And then after that, we're looking towards the eighth plane, which is God realization. So here we're getting a better insight as to soul's relationship to God, and we're understanding, really getting a much greater awareness of what God is and how God operates within the universe. And it's in a very, very interesting place, because when we reach the eighth plane, it's a tremendous awareness that overtakes us at that point. Now, however, this isn't the last goal. When we reach the 10th plane, we've reached the plane of spiritual mastery. So that is exactly as it sounds. We are spiritual masters in that we understand what we're doing within the universe. There are true jobs within the universe, on the inner planes even, as well as on the outer planes. So spiritual masters undertake a very important part of helping to run the universe, and there's many different ways they can do that. So they may be doing that on the inner planes, and they may be doing that on the outer planes, or a combination of both. So spiritual mastery is something that Akita offers that no other path is offering, or at least if they're offering it, no other path is bringing an individual to that level of spiritual mastery, or to spiritual mastery at all. Because there are probably one or two paths that talk about it, but there are no spiritual masters on that path. Whereas we have, how many spiritual masters do we have on this path?
About 22, I think.
22. People that have reached that level. And it's possible to reach that level within one lifetime. Definitely, usually by two, but many people do reach it in one lifetime. And so I do want to mention that when one reaches spiritual mastery, that's not the end of our spiritual unfoldment. This is a continuous process. It's a beautiful process because we're continuing to get further enlightenment, some awareness, and there is really no end to it. So it's a wonderful spiritual journey because it's infinite and a wonderful thing to be a part of. Sri Khanna, do you want to add anything about the goals that I mentioned?
The membership is free, so we're not here to sell anybody anything. We're not pitchmen trying to make a living making money. So we have a pure message here. Because a lot of people, when they give these messages, are trying to sell you something. We're not selling anything, so there's no price tag. We don't sell books. We don't collect donations or contributions. If we receive anything like that, we return them with a nice thank you note. But at the same time, we're not here to sell anybody in a commercial or pecuniary situation. We don't do that. So we have a very pure message. There's no undertow of thinking about, oh, they're just trying to make a living. See, there's no thought of that, which I think is a really beautiful thing because we don't have to justify the whole money issue. So Akita is free, let's say that. And so there's free membership. If the soul is a ready soul tonight, you can go online to akita.com and fill out an application, and you automatically become a member, and they will actually process that at the AUO, Akita Universal office. Therefore, that discussion about having freedom, we also pass free too as well. That means it's something we find very important to that ready soul. There's really no rush on this. If you hear it for the first time and you're anxious, that's fine. You can sign up. But at the same time, if it's something you need to cogitate on, readiness doesn't necessarily mean you have to be anxious, too. It is a matter of maybe answering a few questions or going through the process of reading our intro book. We have a free introductory book. It's also on the website, akita.com. So you'll find there's many different articles and writing, my writings, and we have some audio tapes on there as well. You'll find the akita.com is quite substantial, and I'm sure you'll greatly appreciate it, as we do. How are we doing in terms of our timing?
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I do want to mention, in conjunction with downloading the books for free and looking at the information on the website, we've been doing this Blog Talk radio show for several years, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, probably thousands.
I don't think thousands, but it's several hundred, about 400 or 500.
Yes. Right. So
I know you said thousands last week. And I thought, well, that's a nice idea, but I don't think we have that many. But
okay. Well, at least there are hundreds. So you can people that are interested can access those archives of the shows. Even though we try to get the basic information every week, there's always something new added to it because we kind of will bring some beautiful piece of enlightenment to the show that's never been spoken before. So I did want to thank everyone for being here with us this evening, and I do hope that if you are interested that you'll research the website, you'll listen to the archives. Feel free to contact us if you think ready to apply for membership. As we said, there's no charge for that. And I especially wanted to thank you, Sri Khanavji, for being with us this show and every show, because it's really a wonderful honor to be able to sit and listen to you every week and to enjoy the wisdom that you impart to us. With that, Sukadashi, I wanted to give you the opportunity to close for the evening. And we've approximately got about 30 seconds left, so I won't rush you towards the end. You can take your time saying good evening.
Since you cannot see me, the master raises his right hand with his palm facing out and says, I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad.